Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellante is on 720 WGN. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Tomorrow, things on Michigan Avenue may look a little bit different. As you know, Reverend Jesse Jackson has called for a protest. Father Michael Flager echoing that, or he may have said it first. Doesn't matter who said it first. There's a timetable laid out where the protest is supposed to start at Michigan and Wacker in the intersection and travel north on Michigan Avenue up to Water Tower Place. I'm joined in studio by Patrick Brutus. He is senior advisor for the Young and Powerful Group. Welcome, Patrick. Thanks for coming in today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Brian and Sean and everybody here at WGN. I'm very happy to be here, and I want to just greet your listeners today and say Happy Thanksgiving, Chicago, and I'm glad to be here in the studio with you.
And your son is here taking video. He's documenting everything, so that's very good.
Let me say hi to my wife real quick. Hey, Rochelle. I've got Matt. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's good. It's always good to know where the kids are. Tell everybody before we get started, tell everybody what the Young and Powerful Group is.
So the Young and Powerful Group is a national organization, and we here in the Chicago chapter, we are led by our chairman, Wendell Mosby, who in the 2008 and 2012 presidential election cycles, this organization was instrumental in gathering a number of young professionals across the country, raised significant money for the president's election and re-election, and with that spurned out local chapters across the country. And so here in Chicago now, the question is, what do we do in between these presidential and election cycles? And so what we've been doing is advocating for issues and topics that really kind of affect the urban environment and population. So we're trying to just really make sure our young professionals are keen to the issues, and where we step in, we can fill in the gap and be a vehicle for folks who want to look at the resources that we provide.
So when it comes to a crime and the police department, where does the Young and Powerful Group fall there? Because that is definitely an issue that is impacting the entire city.
So we certainly have jumped into this conversation about advocating for a smart crime and safety policy, not only at the city level, but the county, as well trying to make sure that, one, certainly there's fairness in sentencing, juvenile attention protection, looking at our police force and looking at just the ways that our legislative branch, our executive branch, and our law enforcement division, as well as the criminal justice system, all kind of are aligned. And so, you know, we are advocating for smart and sensible policies on gun control, on criminal safety, you know, those kinds of things that we are actively pursuing to make sure that our voices are heard as young urban professionals in Chicago.
And when you look at the complaints now that about the transparency from City Hall and from the police department, that to me seems like one of the bigger issues. If you take the Laquan McDonald shooting, a murder, and you blow it up a little bit, you see, it's all about transparency. That's the argument. Why did it take so long for us to see the video? Why did it take so long for the charges to come down? What do you think about that?
You're absolutely correct, Brian. I think that should be the root base level conversation about this issue. This incident did not happen yesterday. It did not happen last month. It happened actually over 1 year ago. Mm-hmm. And much to everyone's surprise, to, you know, recently discover that this videotape was available, and now the judge ruled that it should be released, and now we're here dealing with the aftermath of something that occurred last year. Now, you're right. Transparency is an issue. It should have been disclosed. It should have been revealed. It should have been discussed. We should have had these kinds of manifestations and reactions to this incident last year.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is, and here we are today concerned about, you know, the community, first of all and foremost. We, you know, support those in the community who are harmed by this issue, and I think that we should all, as Chicagoans, be sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. But certainly now we are dealing with, you know, this holiday season protest, which is the next step issue, which started, I believe, yesterday.
When we talk about it, I know in the last few days you've heard people say this, you know, there's so many murders, there's so much killing in all across the city, in communities all over. Maybe they don't get as much media attention, but when you have the official group that is supposed to be protecting us, and there are a few, and I'm a very few, because I still contend that the majority of police officers are doing a fine job that most of us wouldn't want to do. But you have to shine a more powerful light on that, because even if it's one or two or ten, if it's emblematic of a policy in the department or an oversight in the department, that has to be shined more than, you know, a random killing.
Well, obviously, I don't think we're talking about official police department or city policy in regards to the way the police in these kinds of incidences conduct themselves.
Maybe about the discipline of police who are accused.
That should be enforced and reaffirmed policy throughout the department. and city, for all city employees of all departments, but certainly in this case, that should be reaffirmed. But what we're talking about here is the culture.
Right.
We're talking about the culture of certain police. And I agree with you. I would wage a bet that the majority of good police officers, and we have, you know, thousands in Chicago, are really right now embarrassed.
Yes.
Do not co-sign with Officer Van Dyke and others like him in the past, mm-hmm. and those who they know are engaged in those kinds of activities today are doing. I'm sure that those good police, they outnumber the bad police. But what we are talking about here is a culture. We're talking about a culture that not only is in the Chicago Police Department, but in a lot of different ways that we're seeing today extend into the law enforcement, criminal justice system, where now we are seeing the attorneys at Cook County also be somewhat complicit of what comes out of CPD. And I think when you're looking at the community's absolutely frustration level at an all-time high of once again, why us? And it seems to be, you know, singularly targeted at the African-American community. We're seeing here where the perception is becoming a reality.
Right.
And you know, we're sitting on potentially a powder keg, and I know that everyone's concerned that this will turn into Ferguson. And so, you know, just a public service announcement here, you know, Patrick Brutus, YMP, and other organizations that support the neighborhood, we implore those who are coming to Chicago, those who are here protesting, to, as best possible, conduct yourselves in a civilized manner. We believe that peaceful protests are more impactful than the ones that are, you know, the complete opposite of that.
Right.
So, but yes, Brian, we're talking about the culture. That's the main thing here in CPD, and we need to reverse that trend.
Patrick Brutus is my guest. He's senior advisor for the Young and Powerful Group. If you have any thoughts, feel free to jump in. 312-981-7200. We'll do this, then we'll come back, and we'll focus a little more on what could be coming tomorrow, and a couple questions that I have for you, Patrick, about the protests that we've seen so far. So we'll get to all of that,
sure.
And if your calls as well, 312-981-7200. On the other side, it's Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna on 720 WGN. It's a beautiful day. Brian Noonan in for Roe, Con and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN. Patrick Brutus is in with me. He is the senior advisor for the Young and Powerful Group here in Chicago. They have active in three cities, correct? It was Chicago, Washington, D.C., and what was the third city?
New York.
In New York. Let me ask you, because I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, we had a couple callers saying, you know, and I've read text, I don't think the video needed to be released. I think the video was more troubling. The family of Laquan McDonald didn't want the video released. Why do you think it was important for this video to finally come to light?
Well, the video should have came to light last year.
Yes, that's true.
So when you look at why the video came out, I think it's fair to say that it's obvious that the video was released in knee-jerk reaction to the FOIA request by the media,
right,
that successfully went through that process, but also a knee-jerk reaction to now trying to get ahead of you know, a community response. And that's what we're seeing today.
Right.
And when you see that, Brian, it's simply amazing when you think about exactly what can and what isn't being done, mm-hmm. here in Chicago.
Such as,
well, here you have a situation in which Officer Dante Servin was inappropriately charged by the state's attorney.
Right.
You had the police superintendent stand by the officer and, in fact, make statements so hyperbolic that he should not have been charged. And then you have this situation here where now it's been revealed through numerous news accounts and emails that are being disclosed now that the, you know, the city government knew about this.
Sure.
And what we're seeing here is we're seeing the cat's out the bag. The cat has been out the bag, and now they're trying to, you know, make amends. And so they've served up now Dante Servin. He's going to be fired. The commissioner has miraculously suddenly reversed his position. We're seeing now a murder one charge, which is, I believe, the appropriate charge in this case for Officer Van Dyke, after seeing the video, which, you know, contrasts, you know, in a complete opposite way of what the, you know, official report of the incident was. And so now the public has seen that the, you know, facts of the case were not such as reported originally. So we're seeing these things, and we're seeing now that things can be done right when pressure is applied.
Well, and it's a shame, and this is, I would imagine, this is part of what the planned protests are going to, that this does not stay the norm. That if something like this were, God forbid, to happen in the future, that as soon as that happens, that video is released. And yes, it's hard for people to watch. But that's, I think, besides showing the things that are being covered up or pushed aside, it also shows people the violence with which Laquan McDonald died and the fact that this is happening. So as hard as it is to watch, I think it's important to see. The Black Caucus said yesterday that they are going to call for a vote of no confidence for Gary McCarthy. People are calling for the mayor to step down. They're calling for Anita Alvarez to step down. In your opinion, is that going to change things? Would there be enough of a change if these people were to leave? And do you think any of them need to go?
So, my personal opinions aside, I think, you know, what we're going to see here, especially in the state's attorney situation, is that we're going to see that the people are going to decide that. So, not that she has to step down, but these are election issues.
Right,
election
she's running for re-election.
She's running right now. There's another candidate running against her right now. We've got formidable competition in that particular race. And so, these are election issues when the community, the stakeholders, those who are taxpayers and residents and registered voters, see that their government, their elected officials, the people that are supposed to represent us, people who are supposed to keep us safe and protected, when that system is completely not aligned and breaks down, we have fingers pointing at each other. And I think for voters, it's an election issue. And so what would be fantastic tomorrow and the rest of however long the protesters plan to be here is if that is aligned with a voter registration drive. I think that would be a more powerful way to make sure that folks have the empowerment that they need, right? So we have to educate, encourage, and empower. I think that this is an opportunity, you know, so let's be thankful that on Thanksgiving Day, that let's be thankful that we have the right to protest. Let's be thankful that we have the right to free speech. And let's be thankful that we have the right to assembly and demonstrate. And so, you know, these are unalienable rights that are, you know, traditionally practiced here in America. And we thank, you know, those who do that. So there is a place for that, Brian. But I also think that there is a place for a peaceful demonstration.
Yes.
And I'm going to encourage folks to be out there who are going to, you know, choose to gather, be safe, be practicing the most diligent way to protest, and let's be peaceful.
Well, because I want to jump in there, because that I think is the most important part. And for people like me, I'm watching this, and I'm as furious about seeing this video and what happened and everything that came before and the cover-ups and all that. But then I see some protesters, and again, it's, you can't generalize all protesters like we can't generalize all police. But we saw the video last night. Some protesters at Millennium Park destroying the tree. What message does that send? Some protesters trying to steal police bikes. I think then you're defeating the purpose of this, because if you're really trying to call attention to a culture, as you said, that is overlooking bad behavior, criminal behavior by some police officers, and you're practicing criminal behavior yourself, you're not going to win. You can't win.
You're talking about also in the sense that you said overlooked. You're talking about a community whose rights and issues have also been overlooked.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, so, and I understand the rage.
Yeah.
And I understand. And listen, I'm with you. I protest tomorrow. It's going to be, you got to send a message somehow. And if that's how you do it, then go for it. But like you, I think peaceful, and we've seen in the past, peaceful has gotten results.
Absolutely.
Law-abiding protests have gotten results. You don't need to destroy everything in your path. That, because then the message that you're trying to achieve is completely overlooked.
Right. Two negatives don't make a positive, and I think that any effort to engage in violence would negate the effort, right? And so, you know, I do think that we are in a different era. So if you compare these kinds of protests that we're seeing today, right, we have a different generation of folks who are, you know, animated and active in carrying out the exercise of their, you know, the rights. Right. I think it's, you know, in a way contrasted to the demonstrations we used to see in the 60s and the, you know, generations of our uncles and grandfathers. And so, I think that, you know, what you're looking at here is the level of frustration is at an all-time high in Chicago. I think we've seen over and over again, and people have had enough, and people are looking for leadership. We have a leadership fail in certain areas and in a number of different areas, and, you know, you can point your finger at whomever, but when this is the same group of legislators who voted to approve a settlement a year now later are now, you know, flipping their position.
Yes,
on this
issue, that's very curious as well. Let's take one quick call. Mark is a police officer. He wanted to jump in the conversation. Hi, Mark. You're on WGN.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mark.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
So what do you think? What do you want to say?
I just want to say, you know, your gentleman there, I guess, hit it dead on. You know, we don't condone that behavior, and, you know, we don't co-sign that behavior. And a couple bad apples shouldn't, you know, spoil the bunch. There's some really good police officers out there.
Of course.
That have gone
absolutely
their whole career and followed the X's and O's. And, you know, at one point, this job was a real prestigious job. You go out and you tell your friends, oh, so-and-so is a police officer, and, you know, people look up to you, and people
sure
would, you know, admire that. And we're at the point now in society when you tell someone you're off, they look down upon you. It's a job where you're actually embarrassed to tell your friends and, you know, the people you meet what you do. And that's a shame because, you know, we're here, you know, bottom line, we're supposed to help people and we're supposed to do right. And we're held to a higher standard.
So Mark,
rightfully so.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you a question? How long have you been on the force?
I've been on for 14 years now.
14 years. And what we've talked about earlier here is a sign about the culture of the CPD and what goes on behind the, you know, blue shield and when the doors are closed. When you have encountered other officers who are kind of doing things like that, what is your position? What do you do? What do you say? How do you react to that?
Well,
because I agree with you. There are more good cops than bad cops.
And Mark, if you could make it, I hate to do this, but if you could make it real quick because we got to get to the news.
Yeah, like in any profession, you know, there's going to be good guys and bad guys, and you try to disassociate yourself if you see any kind of wrongdoing. And like I said, you know, cameras are there for good and for bad.
Right.
And, you know, we assume that there's always a camera on us, and that's the way officers should conduct themselves, you know, because in this society, you're going to be shed, you know, to a higher standard, and we need to follow and obey the laws.
And you should be. And, Mark, thank you for your service to the city. And, again, we do, you know, I want to be cleared as well. Like we said earlier, and I think it bears repeating, I don't think this is epidemic of every police officer out there. I think the majority, the vast majority, do their job and do it well. But there are some, unfortunately, that don't, and then things have to be, you have to call them on the carpet. Patrick Brutus has been my guest. Patrick, thank you for coming in. I know we'll talk again. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot, everybody, and a happy Thanksgiving to Chicago. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, WGN and Young and Powerful Group in Chicago is a great organization. And if you're interested in joining, just let us know on Facebook.
Youngandpowerful.org is the website. We'll get to the news on the other side. It's 720 WGN.